All right, live from Lower BCC for the last time in our undergraduate career. This is Red Sea Radio on WVOF 88.5 FM. I'm your host, Kyle Majewitz, along with Jack Sarasulo. Jack, now that we got the mics working, how we feeling this week?
Yeah, it's bittersweet. You know, last day of class yesterday for both of us. So, and last night I kind of started to realize how. And then when you texted me this morning, you were like, "It's the last show." I was like, "Yeah, it's kind of weird."
Yeah, last night we visited our old dorms, as is tradition for Fairfield. Went back to Jogues and Claver and Townhouse 86. You didn't get to go in your townhouse,
right?
I think
we're going to try again tonight.
Yeah, you guys got to try to get in there. But it was nice. And that kind of was like the beginning of the end for us, I guess. And it was actually nice to go to the levee, too, and they updated
levee,
it.
Brand new levee.
Yeah, before, I mean, we had the episode where we were kind of bashing on the levee. I'd never been in the new levee.
I didn't know it looked like that. I thought it was just the same.
It's kind of like a sports
bar, it's a lot,
but it's
like,
not a bar anymore.
It's a lot like, well, it serves alcohol.
It does.
There's no bar table.
It doesn't look like a bar anymore.
Like the old one had like a actual bar.
It looks like a dining hall thing now.
It looks like a grab and go kind of.
Yeah, but they have TVs, but they had like the NHL playoffs on last night.
Like the high top tables.
Yeah, and they had like Fairfield Athletics like wrapping wallpaper or whatever around the. So I actually shout out to the levee because I hadn't been there since it changed and it actually looks a lot better. So hopefully students use it for Fairfield basketball coming up. And, you know, we're going to start our show today by talking about Fairfield basketball because we had a huge week. We didn't really plan on this show pretty much being like a farewell to Fairfield for us, but we got to talk about Fairfield basketball just because of the crazy week we had. So that's where we're going to start, and then we're going to transition into kind of just some, like, wrapping up our time here at Fairfield. Since this is our final undergrad show, our final show in the WVOF studio, as we mentioned, we'll probably be back here and there on Zoom during basketball season with shows, but it'll also be our last show for the school year.
We'll have a minor hiatus.
Yeah, as we always do.
Unless Fairfield figures out a way to like win the College World Series.
Yeah, if something crazy like that happens, we'll have to come back. But if not, this will probably be our last show till like maybe late October, November-ish. So first of all, let's talk about Fairfield basketball. So Fairfield gets two new four-star transfers/recruits this week. Making it one of the biggest transfer weeks for them probably ever.
I mean,
I don't
in
know.
In our knowledge.
Definitely in our
5 years.
In our bare knowledge of Fairfield basketball, it's probably one of the bigger transfer weeks that they've ever had. So let's go through the two recruits. So first we had Bryson Gadeen. First of all, apologize if I say his name wrong, and I'm sure we'll learn it as.
We'll figure it out once Fairfield people get back on the call.
Yeah.
Start listening to their broadcasts.
Yeah, we'll figure it out over time. Apologize if we say it wrong first. But Gadeen, former Syracuse and most recently Providence guard, 6'4", 190-pound junior with two eligible years left, I believe. Former top 100 recruit out of high school. And according to Frank, who always helps us out with the more historical knowledge, we use his tweets for the more historical Fairfield knowledge. According to Frank, highest rated player since Rakeem Sanders, who obviously we've never watched play, but for Fairfield alumni out there, I'm sure that name rings a bell. And this is the highest rated player since him, according to like the recruiting websites. So this was also Jay Young's first four-star recruit ever, which is a great, I guess, step up for him in the recruiting game.
Another barrier knockdown.
Yeah, so.
Hey, now it's just going to get, maybe get a five-star.
A five? All right, let's
not be greedy.
Yeah, let's give it a few years or decades or something. But we got
a few millenniums.
Let's look at his stats from this past year. So, you know, as you were talking about before the show, he didn't play a ton of minutes for Providence, so or they were a little scattered. He had some
random spurts.
Yeah, spurts. So it's hard to like look at his averages as like representative of him.
I mean, we watched him for what, two games over his past 2 years, and like we know he's not. I mean, he didn't really play. I know he played the
Well, the first game, did you see someone put a highlight up of him? It was against Fairfield the first time we played.
That's
like
what I said.
Two years ago,
I remember him playing a lot.
Yeah,
more.
He had a steal that led to a transition dunk over Chef or something like that. And someone tweeted that, or someone posted it, and I saw that. But in terms of just like what he's capable of, he's had season high of 12 points this past season against Northwestern. He played 19 minutes against Virginia, which is, you know, no joke of a school. He had 4 3-pointers made in a single game, and that was against Northwestern, so I guess all of his points there were threes. Looking at the stats-wise, it's obviously going to be deflated because he's playing on Providence, who we know just had a crazy year, just had a really good year, so it's not really necessary to look at, like, the averages.
And we know they have great guards that were in front of him that whole year.
Yeah.
Obviously.
But when just talking about him as a player, it's very exciting. First of all, we had a new Providence follower on Twitter follow us, and basically he tweeted at us when this happened. He said that Gudeen is a great shooter, handles the ball well, he can attack the rim well. One thing, negative side, he said, was that he struggles on defense at times, but overall it's a great pickup for us. In that sense, like, shooting is what we need, ball handling is what we need, and then defense isn't really something we need right now.
I have a lot more faith in Jay on fixing a guy's defense than trusting him to, like, develop someone's, like, offensive game.
Yeah.
So if you can come with the offense, the defense, I mean, that's just play, like, teamwork and, like,
yeah, that's
buying
the thing.
In.
I mean,
how athletic these guys are, it's really just buying in.
He's a defensive coach, so, like, you got to assume he's going to improve him defensively. And even if he didn't improve him a whole lot defensively, we're, like, a defensive-minded team.
Huge shot blockers in the middle of the paint that can bail him out if he has to.
Yeah, and it's like, if we're a defensive-minded team, so it's like, if we have one guy who's kind of, like, struggling a little bit on defense, I'm sure the rest of the team will pick him up. And our need offensively outweighs the, I don't know, negative of having someone struggle on
defense.
And also
in, like lower, like, mid-major D1, I feel like it's not as, like, in terms of, like, hunting, like, bad defensive players, it's not as prevalent, I guess, in, like, MAC basketball than it is in, like, higher D1 where, like,
where you can get, like, picked apart,
yeah,
by,
you,
like,
can,
a,
like, basically, like,
a guy who's, like, an NBA talent.
And have, like, just, like, oh, just go after this one guy over and over again.
Yeah, so that's not really something I'm too concerned about. And then I was looking at some of his highlights. So, you know, there's, like, highlights on YouTube and stuff that are, like, dedicated to him having hustle plays, like, rebounding over guys that are way taller than him, or just, like, different steals and stuff like that. It's literally, I think it's called, like, Bryson Gudeen hustle plays. And, like, he seems to play aggressive and be able to, like, out-rebound guys bigger than him, or just make the extra, I don't know, kind of, like, explosive plays that we haven't seen as much here when we were here, so especially from the guards. So that's something that's very exciting. And I know we kind of talked about that with Fields last week, how, like, he kind of brought that explosiveness a little bit, and I think Gudeen's, like, the same way. So maybe that's kind of, like, the type of player that Jay Young's going after. And I think that would change, like, the way Fairfield basketball looks a lot next year as compared to, like, the last 3-4 years we've been watching.
Like, two guys that we have to, like, we can see from highlights, I guess, but not, like, guaranteed, but guys from highlights we can see can, like, dribble the ball and, like, kind of push the ball up the court, like, a lot more than we've seen in our time here. I mean, between Caleb and Taj, we rarely saw fast breaks opportunities because they were more methodical with how they played. So having, like, these, like, high action, high, like, quick guys that can move the ball really quick and like to push the ball can be interesting to see.
Like, we didn't even, for our first 2 years, we didn't even really have, like, a true point guard.
I mean, we had Idis for the
But for the most part, it's like, we didn't have, like, a, I don't know, we didn't really have a good point guard.
A point guard that, like, all of them have really been, like, pass first, like between Caleb and Idis, like, Taj even a lot, like, it's like most, like, they're pass first. Their job is to, like, move the ball to wings or their bigs or get the ball to the bigs. But, like, Caleb is, like, a guy you can literally, he can take the ball up the court and be the only one to touch it and get a basket.
And it's like Idis and Caleb were kind of, like, smart guys that you can trust
to, like,
to
not
really make mistakes
over
and stuff like that. But now I feel like we would like to see people who are more, like, risk takers.
Yeah.
And I feel like these guys might be more in that field.
And also, it probably will help with, like, in terms of, like, our end-of-game strategy, if you have guys that are, like, more willing to, like, take that last shot and stuff instead of having to worry about drawing up some methodical play that...
Yeah, where to, like, it seemed like no one wanted to take the last shot for the last, you know, 3 years or whatever. So, overall, on Gadeen, it's exciting. Basically, shooting is what we need, and that's what we got. I also talked to one of my friends who's a big Providence fan, and he basically said that, like, Cooley would put Gadeen in if they needed, like, an offensive spark because he's a good offensive player, and that, like, he probably would have moved up in the ranks this year, like, this upcoming year for Providence, if not for the fact that they just had, like, a huge haul of transfers. So that's what probably ultimately led him to leave. So in talking to him, it didn't seem like it was – it didn't really seem like his lack of play time was because he wasn't good enough. It kind of seemed like – like you said, they had some good guards this year in front of him. It seemed like he was bound to make that jump, but then they just added in a bunch of transfers, I'm sure, who were very good because of the year they just had, and it kind of just squeezed out his position. But, I mean, you had him playing at Syracuse. You have him playing at Providence. Obviously, he was good enough to be on those teams. So he's obviously good enough to be on our team and probably play at a high level. So I'm very excited for that. And I'm very excited for a team that hopefully can score very consistently next year as compared to what we've seen. I mean, we saw it a little bit this year. But
and it'll be interesting because, like, I feel like Jae Young, every year he's been – the coach has kind of slowly modified the offense, like, made it little by little more and more, like, free-flowing, I guess. Because, I mean, like, the first, like, year or two he was here, it was, like – or year, it was, like, very, like, just – like, minimal, like, action on the offensive end. Like, he called, like, rock fights almost. I mean, we interviewed him. But then by, like, the end of last year, it was, like, you could definitely tell a difference with the offensive game plan. I hope it changes even more next year.
Yeah, and I'm interested to see, too, we haven't even talked about the next recruit, but with all these offensive players coming in and with already now TJ moving up to be a sophomore, Wojcik coming back, I wonder if they're going to start transitioning to more of, like, a having a guy who's, like, the main scorer. We saw this year where everyone traded, like, being the leading scorer so many different games. Yeah. I wonder if Jae Young will start actually molding the offense around
having
a guy.
Your guy.
Instead of just kind of having it spread out, or if he'll continue to have it spread out now that we have more good offensive players.
And with, like, you don't really, like, we can't really tell until the first game or until we get knowledge of, like, the rotations a little bit, but, like, you wonder who he'll trust with, like, being, like, the main ball handler. Like, you have to imagine it's Caleb because he's experienced and stuff. But then you have Johns, who's, like, this, like, stud coming in, who got offers from all these big schools. So you have to imagine he might take some type of reign. It honestly, it could even change within the year. Like, it could be someone at the beginning of the year and someone at the end.
And you could even have, like, it could change within the game, too.
Yeah,
Gadeen could take it up sometimes.
Even, like, Wojcik could, like, mix it in.
And then we still don't know what's going to go on with Jalen, how he's going to recover from an injury and come back. You know, we still have faith in him, too.
No, yeah, we
going forward. Yeah. He's just never been able to stay healthy.
But, I mean, it's better to have too many players than not enough.
Yeah, and that's what we were talking about that to Frank the other day, is, like, it's crazy how in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, we went from
not having a point guard,
not having a guard, and not really having, like, a great lineup at all with, you know, Taj and Cruz leaving. The way the lineup looked, obviously, it was bound to have more players going in. We needed to have them come in. But at that time, it was, like, not really having a great team to having a kind of, like, a team where guys are going to have to sit, and they're actually going to be pretty good players that are going to have to take the back seat. Before we talk about that, because I do want to get into a lineup discussion, we got to talk about our second recruit, James Johns Jr., son of assistant coach James Johns, who joined Fairfield this past season. We know his story, very famed AAU coach. And his son is actually a four-star guy as well, top 150 recruit out of high school. So he was actually slated to be a 2023 senior, class of 2023. But he reclassed to class of 2022. Which means instead of joining us the following year, he'll actually join us this next season. So that in itself is interesting to me because we talk about his ability to come in and impact right away. Obviously, he's top 150 recruit, so he's going to be very good. But he's also skipping a year, which means he's going to be very, very young when he joins us next year.
He'll be raw.
He's going to be, what, 17?
It depends on when his birthday is, but, yeah, 17.
17 or 18. He's going to be very, very young joining us next year. So that's going to be interesting. But aside from that fact, Jae Young adding two top players that we haven't seen in a while, all in 1 week, which is an incredible recruiting job by him and his team. James Johns Jr. had offers from UConn, Miami, Oklahoma State, Ole Miss, Texas A&M, Penn State, St. Joe's, Dayton, and VCU. All very solid schools, very solid basketball schools. And, you know, Fairfield won the recruiting game against all those schools, which is incredible. Obviously, I know his dad coaches here, but still, the fact that he was able to pick Fairfield over all those schools is something we're very grateful for, and it's also just amazing work from Jae Young and his team. So congratulations to them for pulling in a recruit like Johns. I watched an interview with him, a brief interview, and he compared his game to Jason Tatum in an interview.
I know. It's just gonna, funny to,
you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, if he can model his game after someone, Jason Tatum.
If he can model his game after Jason Tatum, I'd be happy too.
Yeah. I mean, if he plays like Jason Tatum.
Yeah, if he plays like Jason Tatum, I'll be happy.
But that's one thing. And, you know, overall, it's just a huge get for Fairfield. I don't know. Did you have anything? I know you watched some videos of him.
It just seemed like a lot of everything I watched. A good shooter, I thought, which is, I guess, obviously compares to the Jason Tatum comp, but just a whole lot of he seems like he's able to erupt for a ton of points in a short span of time. Whenever I was seeing, it was standout performance from James Johns and a ton of points in just one half or something like that. So that'd be interesting to see another guy on the team what TJ kind of did last year, where he would go off for these huge spurts in 10 minutes. Maybe just have more guys that can do that.
Yeah, and it's a great recruit, because I mean, when we had Frank on the show, I think he talked about, I'm not sure if he talked about it on the show or if he talked to us after the show about it, but he mentioned Johns and how we really gotta do everything we can to try to get him here. And it seemed kind of unrealistic at the time. I feel like when you see these big schools that offered him, you just feel like there's no way Fairfield's going to be able to compete in the recruiting with them. But, you know, they got it done. And, you know, who knows how many years he stays here or if he moves up beyond here. But it's still just an incredible get for Fairfield. And we were at Clam Jam on Saturday. And one of my friend's brothers that goes here came up to me and said that we got James Johns Jr. And I was like, no way. Then I was walking through the entire Clam Jam looking for you to tell you. And then I also ran into Chris, who runs Fairfield Basketball Twitter account as well, and told him. And it was so exciting. And then that's when we tweeted at night. We were in the Sea Grape talking about lineups at 10:30, 11 p.m. on a Saturday night in, April at the time? Talking about future lineups for Fairfield basketball the following season, because that's how exciting it is to get these two recruits. It's really, really big-time stuff for Fairfield that we have never seen, because we've only been here for 4 years, and that I know a lot of you guys out there, alumni, you know, haven't seen it. We haven't seen it in a little while, so it's very, very exciting, a great time. I see people posting online on the message boards, and we kind of had this conversation too. It's like everything's lining up for people who are Fairfield basketball fans, Mets fans, even Jets. I'm not a Jets fan, but Jets fans
The
good picks.
Giants had some good picks.
Giants, too. Everything's lining up. Oh, I'm a Dolphins fan. I guess you could kind of say it's lining up, too. So all of anyone who fits those demographics, it's lining up well for, you know, having an exciting sports run that we haven't had in a while for all those teams. So, but I wanted to talk about the lineup discussion that we had and kind of have our own discussion on here, because now that we have all these guys coming in and, you know, a few good players already on the roster, people are bound to not start, obviously. So I guess I'll just ask you right off the bat, what is your projected, You know, obviously there's a lot of stuff we don't know, but what's your projected lineup going into next season if you had to pick today?
So it's tough because, like, you have to think about it in terms of, like, does TJ get a chance to start early? Does Woj get a chance to start early? And, I mean, I feel like I have to imagine Caleb starts at the point guard. Like, okay, look at the guarantees. Caleb starts at the point guard. I think opening night you have to imagine.
Yeah.
Supreme starts at center.
Yeah. That's locked. Supreme obviously is locked
and
in.
And then, I mean, does Gooding start over Wojcik?
I think Gooding definitely starts.
Over, like, I'm saying in next to him or in addition to him?
When just thinking about, like, who the five guys will be, I just think Gooding's, like,
no, I agree, too, that Gooding is in it. But I'm saying in terms of, like I don't, like, do we play, do we
I think
did
him
last
at the
year
two.
Have Chrysler play the start at the four, like, he was doing a little, like, all year last year?
I think, like, Fields and Gooding, one and two, and then obviously Cook, five, is a lock.
Yeah, it's
and then
a lock.
Where you fill in those next two is where, like, the interesting conversation
it's
comes
like,
up. Because you have, you still have Woj, you have TJ, you have Johns.
You have.
And then you still have, like, we didn't really name a true. We still didn't. And we also didn't really name a true power forward in that.
Yeah, then you
still
have. You have Chrysler and Mido as options to play the start next to Cooker, unless you want to go a smaller bit. Like,
yeah.
You have even more.
That's why, I mean, it's probably going to change a lot throughout the season, depending on matchups.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, like, if you're playing, like. Because, like, it. Towards the end of the year, they were doing Mido next to Cook a lot more, and like, I know we don't like that much, but I think it was basically a lack of options at that point. Because
mm-hmm.
like last year, they didn't have the guards to kind of play small, so they had to play Chrysler or just play absurdly small with Wojcik, Caleb, Taj, and like TJ or something like that.
See, I wouldn't mind. Like, I like the lineup. A lot of it's going to depend on me how Johns looks when he comes in because he's going to be so young. And, like, we know that even, like, really good high school athletes still sometimes have a tough
There's
time adjusting.
Yeah.
And we also know that Jay Young hasn't typically played freshman, like...
It takes him a little while.
...a crazy amount. Like, he kind of makes them earn their stay. So I don't know if he'll just start him right off the bat. But then the other thing is, like, we haven't had a guy of his stature come in a while, so maybe he's just going to be so good that you can't
yeah,
not
maybe
start
it's
him.
Like, you have to, like, also, like, I mean, I saw Fairfield Frank tweeted, I found it, okay, Fairfield Frank tweeted his starters as of now after the transfers. He said Caleb, Gooding, Wojcik or TJ, Johns, and Cook. So he is wanted to start, his thought is, like, they would start all three of them and play just, like, absurdly small.
Yeah, I think Frank thinks that Johns could actually be like a four in a smaller lineup.
How tall even is he? 6'5". Yeah, I mean, 6'5" is not small at all in any situation. I mean, like, Gooding 6'4", like, it'd just be like a very, like, they'd be able to just, like, they'd be able to switch a lot of defense, which would be good. A lot of people, they'd be able to guard everyone. But, I don't know, there are definitely going to be some situations where I can't imagine that. Like, they would have to go big at some point.
Like, that wouldn't fly in some situations where the teams are bigger. Yeah, for me, I think it's going to depend a lot on what Johns
also
looks like. But I think the tough conversation we're having is that, personally, if Johns is, like, legit, I would like to see. And it's weird, too, because I don't know if Jay Young would want to start three new guys together.
Because, yeah, like, then, I don't know. It's just, like, three transfers jumping everyone that's been there.
Like, yeah, I don't know. I feel like Jay Young kind of values, like, people who've been around for a while, too.
He values I think he values continuity a lot.
He still, like, played, like, Jesus a lot through some of his hard times.
He got only some minutes.
He still gives some of these guys who have been around, like, their play. Even Caleb, when he's had tough stretches, he still played him right through it. So I don't know if he's going to want to play three new guys together.
But the interesting thing about that is that, like, everyone that, like, Wojcik's a senior, obviously, but, like, Caleb, obviously all those guys that you mentioned, like, Caleb, Taj, Cook, or Cruz, all were, like, seniors or, like, long-time members of the team. Where, like, now it's, like, you're kind of running on guys. That's, like, a lot of, it's mostly juniors, right? I think, how many seniors do we have?
Probably one, right?
Wojcik's the only one. So it's, like...
Well, like... Mido is
Miles technically senior,
but I think
like,
they got two more years.
Yeah, two more years of control. But in terms of like, I feel like there's a lot less veterans on the team, I guess. So it's more like reasonable to play new
those
guys.
And the other thing too is like we talk about Jae Young still giving play to his veterans when like the freshmen are, or like the sophomores are like Allen or like TJ, like guys
like
who
Jalen.
Yeah. They're like guys who are like good, like decent for the MAC, you know, as far as we know so far. But we're talking about guys coming in that have legit resumes.
With like, and also it's like with Taj, it's like Taj and Cruz are like legends. So it's like you knew they were never getting hopped. Like it doesn't like even if these guys got brought in last year, I don't think they were getting hopped. They were hopping over them. But obviously you would never know, but it's like
and they're like captains and
it's
like
much,
legends, like you said.
Much more reasonable to think that like Johns could play over Wojcik or
because
Cale could play over Long, like
when like when the talent gap that comes in is like so much farther.
Sometimes you just have to give in.
He's not gonna Jae Young. I feel like if the talent gap is close, he'll be likely to go with the veteran guys or the guys he feels like owed more to. But if the talent gap's so wide, he's not gonna sit.
That's true. We can play
star
like,
players.
We can play in last year, but like the difference in like the difference in Cruz and TJ last year was
like how much better would we really have been if he played TJ more, win maybe one or two more games.
And it's like, it's like interchangeable almost. Like, they were obviously played differently, like, they're different players, but, like, obviously the veteran presence, like, of Cruz wins out, but, like,
it's not
when you're sitting difference. When you're sitting visibly better players for worse players just because of.
Like, I don't think he's going to go ahead and sit, like, he's not going to just, like, give Allen a bunch of minutes over, like, Johns or something.
He's not going to stick Johns on the bench because he's a freshman.
Yeah, and then give Allen, you know, like, I think when the talent gap is a lot bigger, he's going to have to play the better players, and I think he will, too. So
it might take a couple games. I could see, like, the first couple games maybe, like, eases it into it. But, like, by mid-year, I have to imagine those three will be playing the majority of minutes.
I think maybe the out-of-conference schedule maybe ease in a little bit. For Johns, I think the guys who already played in college,
I think
though,
Fields
they don't
and
need,
Gooding will play right away.
Yeah,
but in terms of like
any
Johns, like I think he'll get eased in terms of becoming like a main contributor on the team.
And we could be completely wrong because he can be a
that's true. He could be
stud.
Some stuff we don't know enough about, and we don't know what's going on with the brain trust of Fairfield basketball with him.
But just the fact that we've got two recruits and just three in the past 3 weeks who are pretty solid players. Two this week who are very, very good, have very good resumes. It's very, very exciting. And I don't think Fairfield basketball fans have been this excited in a while for a team. Probably not in our 4 years at all.
No.
So there's a lot of potential, but we're still in now May. We're still months away from the season, and we're still in a one-bid league, so there's a lot of things going into it. So I thought it was an interesting conversation to have, and I'm definitely excited to have those two guys. And we talk about the league. We got a new team announced, I think officially announced yesterday, Mount St. Mary's joining the MAC. So we got a new competitor in the MAC. Not much that I wanted to talk about with that, but I thought I would just mention it on the show. Just as MAC news.
Yeah, I mean, they were in the tournament. Or they were in the first four.
Were they?
A couple years ago. Or during the COVID year, they played. Because I remember they were the first game of the tournament after, like, not having tournament for so long. So, like,
Do you know what league they came from?
Mount St. Mary's. I don't know.
I wonder how good they'll be right away. You know, if they're
stepping down or stepping up. So they were in the NEC.
Okay, so that's like Sacred Heart, all of them.
So, I mean, if they're the best of the any, like, I mean, if they just won the conference a couple years ago, they have to imagine they're somewhat, like, they're going to hold their own, I have to imagine.
Yeah, because, I mean, we typically beat the NEC schools, I feel like, but it's always, like, a good game.
Yeah, it's not like they're overpowered. Like,
except for FDU. We killed FDU
year. Sacred Heart they played, and it was, like, a legitimately close game.
Yeah, so, I mean, they'll probably be able to compete.
And also, like, the MAC, everything's so even that, like, it's almost impossible to, like, have, like, a full-on bad school or bad team.
Yeah. All right, so that's going to wrap up our Fairfield basketball talk. Very exciting stuff going on. And continue to follow us on Twitter at Red Sea Radio as we keep the tweet, keep tweeting and keeping up with Fairfield basketball news and Fairfield sports news as well. So for our last, I guess, half hour of the show, we just want to close out the show by reminiscing on some Fairfield memories of the past 4 years as Jack and I are set to graduate in
2 weeks,
19 days.
Yeah.
So I guess starting off, I mean, it'll just be kind of fluid, but what is like one of your favorite early Fairfield memories, like one of your earliest favorite Fairfield sports memories, I should say?
So I remember watching, I remember the first Fairfield game I watched, Fair basketball. Uh-huh. Well, I remember like before college, I watched
Tyler Nelson,
that thing, because that was like all over ESPN stuff. But first game I watched, I remember watching it in Campion. I remember watching, I forget who did they play when Landon had, he broke the 3-point record.
I think it was Manhattan.
Was it Manhattan?
Originally.
I remember watching like that game. I remember it was like afternoon game too, because it was like we were doing nothing anyway on a weekend. And it's like turning
or
it on.
Or maybe it was something else then. Because He originally set the record against Manhattan.
And then broke it again against A&M, right?
I remember that Manhattan game. I was in class, though, and I missed it. So I don't think it was on a weekend.
Whatever it was, I don't remember the day of the week.
Yeah.
Though, it was, I remember watching it, and like the first game I turn on, of course, it's Landon break, like, or however many threes he had, 10 or 11. So, like, I mean, that's like a crazy good game to choose. Because that wasn't like the beginning of the year or anything. It was during conference, but it was like halfway through the year.
I think that was midseason.
So, like, for me to turn that on and see that, I don't know, it's a cool memory.
Dragged you in.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, I would say it was working Fairfield basketball against Iona at Alumni Hall freshman year. We beat Iona, sold out crowd, just a great crowd, and probably one of the first sold out crowds that I worked at Alumni Hall for Fairfield basketball. And I just remember that, you know, beating Iona was a big deal for us and everyone was going crazy. And I still have to this day, even right in front of me right now, my background on my laptop is a picture from that game. It's like someone, I'm not sure, it's someone hitting a shot on Fairfield and, you know, it's like a packed crowd. And yeah, it's them versus Iona. Fairfield's up 45-35 in the game, 16 minutes in the second half in this picture. So that's definitely one of my earliest favorite Fairfield sports and basketball memories. And I think around then is like when I was really just like invested in the team. But moving forward, like, what's some of your other favorite memories of Fairfield athletics? Like, we could just go back and forth with them. I have a few listed, but
I have one. I don't know if it's my favorite, but it's like one that will sit with me forever. We talked about this before. Like, I don't remember who they were playing. I went to the game. There was a favorite basketball game going on when Kobe died.
Yeah, I was going to talk about that too.
And I know I was at the game as in the stands. You were at the game working, and it was like the crazy, like most insane experience ever. Because it just like I remember saying, like seeing it, like scrolling through Twitter at like a timeout or whatever during the game, and like seeing it, and like I had to confirm like 8 times in my eyes, like blinked like a couple times. See, it wasn't like a fake account, like one of those like whatever troll accounts. Like TMZ, and just like saying it to like our buddy Drew next to me, then like someone behind us hearing it, because like I mean the bleachers are on top of each other,
yeah,
hear everything they're saying. So it's like say it to my roommate next to me, then people behind me ask like, "Did you just like, what did you just say?" And it's like everyone they behind them,
and
like,
it spread,
yeah, just spread, and then like,
yeah,
it was like the game was like an ins- like it was like not even like the main focus like of everyone,
yeah, it became
in there.
Like a
even
a
the
background,
players I feel like
background noise.
So I don't know about you, but the I don't remember if you said this, but like on the sideline, did the players?
So yeah, so that was one of the things I was going to talk about at one point. Was that's like such a, that's like you said, like something that kind of sticks with you forever, just because, I guess Kobe was like a really, just huge player for us growing up, and also it's just such an interesting moment, I guess, that I've had working for Fairfield basketball. So I remember the game was actually Fairfield Canisius, and it was our Heard for a Cure game, so that's where they do like the breast cancer, they sell t-shirts and stuff and raise money for breast cancer. So it was sold out, or it was close to sold out. It was a pretty packed crowd, I think a Sunday afternoon game. And I was working at the score table, So when you work at the score table, I don't know if it's like a rule, but I generally stay off my phone because just to be like respectful. And so the game was really good in the first half. Like, it was pretty close.
I remember it was an entertaining game.
There was like, I remember Allen had like a breakaway dunk, just some random memories. I know Cruz played really well in that game. And it was entertaining and the crowd was into it. But I remember sitting at the score table and like hearing, I remember first I heard like a kid behind me say that like Kobe died or something. Or something, I don't know. Or I think he like maybe showed his family like a picture and was like, it might have been like of a helicopter crash or something, saying like, this is Kobe dying or something. And I remember the kid's dad saying like, stop, like that's not a funny joke or like whatever. And then I remember as time went on, just hearing people behind me like talking about that and thinking it's not true, and then kind of confirming it more and more. And then I remember, like, people around me at the score table kind of, like, looking back and asking the crowd and maybe, like, checking their phones during a timeout. And it was weird being in that perspective of not having the ability to look at your phone. Like, you feel like, so out of the loop almost. Like,
what is happening?
And you're, like, you're just depending on the people around you to, like, provide the information, but it's almost like a telephone where it's like
it slowly gets less and less true.
It gets skewed. Like, I remember they said, who was it? Was it Rick Fox or someone? They said,
the other Laker player, Rick Fox.
They were like saying he was in there at first, and then that was not true. So it's like you have to listen to people around you. You can't go on Twitter or anything, because whenever something crazy like that happens, I always go on Twitter.
Yeah,
because I feel like.
Most up-to-date
weirdly
news.
Somehow Twitter is like the best way to get breaking news now, so not having that ability was so weird. And then just noticing everyone around was like slowly just losing interest in the game, like you said. Like, there was still, I don't know if the players ever found out, because I think it happened before halftime, so it's very possible they could have went in and found out, but it's also very possible they didn't, because I feel like they probably wouldn't be checking their phones at halftime and stuff anyway, unless someone told them. So I don't know if they ever found out, but the players kept playing, and it was still a good game, but the crowd was just not into it, like you said. Like, it was just like a quiet crowd. And if the players didn't know, they probably were kind of felt an eerie feeling, like, why is no one even cheering, really? But you could just see people talking, whispering to each other, showing each other phones, and just the crowd dead. Like, it was so inflated, or deflated, rather. And that was one of the weirdest experiences I've had working, and also like one of the weirdest experiences I've had with like celebrity deaths. Because you see, like, we've had like a few celebrity deaths here in our time, and I don't know. It's like you always have the ability to go on like Twitter and stuff and see, but just to be like completely shut out of the news and having to listen around, and being in like an environment with thousands of people who all like basketball. And then to see them all deflated, it was crazy, like you said.
And also, that's, like, a player that, like, or a person that, like, moves past, like, being a basketball fan. Like, they're, like...
Yeah, everyone knows.
Like, everyone knows Kobe. Like, everyone knows who he is, what he's done. So it's, like...
I mean, in our time in general, it's probably one of the biggest, like, celebrity premature deaths, probably, like, in our lifetime.
Definitely, in terms of premature deaths, like...
Because also... Like, I don't know, just in general, like, Kobe was always the type of player that was, like, felt indestructible, too. Like, he would play through injury, like...
He was, like, so, like...
Larger than life, I guess is a good way to say it. So, I don't know, he's one of those guys you felt like would be around forever anyway.
He's on tier of, like LeBron, Shaq, in terms of, like, literally, like, he's, like, not only was he, like, a basketball star, he was, like, a... entertainment, just by choice, just by like who he was, just like
he was just
people
everywhere.
Were attracted to him.
So that was really just a core, I guess, memory that I always have from working.
But
there.
It is a memorable thing. I didn't want to.
No, it's not. It's not like a favorite.
It's just a memory that I always remember.
Oh yeah, it's just something that's like crazy that you could probably talk about like forever. Just like being in that moment. Like, I don't know. I feel like any other time I've learned about something like that, it's been like a very, just like, there's no like story to go along with it. Like,
no,
you're just sitting in your bed or something.
Yeah, you just
and you
like happen to open your phone.
But for that, it's like it's like a very interesting story, and it was a very interesting experience. So Yeah, I had that in my thing for, like, working for Fairfield Basketball. Like, there's a couple interesting things I've had working through there. I remember one time we did a promotion. A funny kind of story that I always have from working is that we were doing a halftime thing when, like, they'll bring youth groups to the games. Like, it'll be, like, local, like, recreation team or whatever, and they'll let them play at halftime. And I remember one time, I think two years ago maybe, we were playing at Webster Bank Arena, and they had, like, a little youth group, like, young kids, like, maybe 6 or 7 years old, and they let them play at halftime. And I remember everything's running on a clock, so the players come back out at halftime, like, 8 minutes left in the half, and do their, like, layup lines. And these kids would not get off the court when they were supposed to. Like, they count down, 10, 9, 8, 7, whatever, 3, 2, 1. And these kids wouldn't get off the court, and they kept playing. And then our boss is, like, telling us in our ear, like, go get them off the court. And, like, I didn't even go get them off the court. Like, the people that are working with me did. And they just kept playing, and their coach was on the court trying to get the ball. They just kept, those little kids kept running up and down the court. And then I think the players started to come out while they were still on the court. And that was, like, my most disastrous, I guess, moment working for Fairfield Basketball. It was pretty embarrassing, but it's also, like, a funny story to tell because it's just, like, I don't know, we couldn't control these kids getting off the court. It was also cool getting to meet Matt Turner. I know we'll talk about our episode with him. It was just cool getting to meet him in person, working there. And just in general, working and just doing all these different promotions, getting a lot of cool promotions, t-shirts and stuff like that, and just meeting a lot of cool people that, I don't know, I'm just thankful for my time working there, and I'm going to miss it. I wish I could just keep working there instead of doing our accounting, counting 9-to-5s, but I'm grateful for my time working for Fairfield Basketball and the people I met. As far as Fairfield memories, some other things, we talked about Landon a little bit. Him beating Texas A&M pretty much single-handedly is definitely one of my favorite sports memories here. I know we had just got back from Thanksgiving break, and I remember having the game on in our Claver suite. Mm-hmm. And I remember me and you and I think Tom were there watching it, and I didn't think we were going to beat Texas A&M at all. We had just lost to, I think, USC.
Yeah, they went through a lot on Thanksgiving. I think they lost to USC,
and they also lost to Davidson.
Or maybe Davidson. I know they lost to somebody on
Thanksgiving. Those were the two teams they played in that ESPN tournament, and I think they kind of had a chance to beat Davidson. And I don't even think they played awful against USC either. But I remember didn't think they were going to beat Texas A&M, and then Landon went off and. We thought he was gonna cool down at some point, but he just kept scoring. And I don't know how many threes he had in that game, but
well, I think he did. He break that record I was talking about before. Cause I thought I remember them talking.
Probably
about
close to 10. I don't. He was on ESPN and everything. Yeah, like, that was a big moment.
That's probably the most star, like most national attention they've gotten on ESPN.
Besides like baseball or something.
I meant like in terms of the basketball team.
Yeah. And then I also remember a cool moment was Allen's full court fast break buzzer beater against Monmouth. I remember working at that game.
I remember watching. We were all watching.
Yeah. That was a fun moment. We weren't really expected to beat Monmouth at that point either. I think that was 2 years ago. And then I also really enjoyed Fairfield beating Sacred Heart this year.
Yeah, that was a fun game.
It was just a fun day. I mean, the whole build-up was fun, too. I feel like we on our like Twitter and stuff, we got really involved. Yeah, we were beefing with the Sacred Heart fan thing too on like Stags in the Stands, and then on our Twitter, we made a lot of memes and stuff that was getting a lot of attention, a lot of likes. It was just cool to like contribute to that, and yeah, and then we watched the game at like a bar. We didn't go to the Sacred Heart game, but
we would not have been welcomed.
Yeah, we didn't want to get ourselves in any trouble, so we just went to a local bar and watched the game, and it was actually a lot of fun.
It was a great time.
That was the only time we've done something like that for a Fairfield basketball game, and it was a great time. Had some good nachos, some drinks, and we had the game on, I think, a couple TVs there, and it helped that we won too. That was I had a lot of fun. That was probably one of my most fun games to watch this past season as well. Because
they were playing so well that game too, over that stretch of the year.
And Sacred Heart stayed in it enough where it like kept you kind of on the edge of your seat too.
Like, we didn't like blow them out or anything. It was like a very close game.
Yeah. Are there any other? Oh, also I thought Jake dropping like 30 plus against Manhattan to end the season last year was also a great memory.
Because they were riding to drop momentum high after that game.
And also I think we were watching that in my townhouse, and it was like a Friday or something too. So I think everyone was over too, and we were watching it to like start our night, I guess. Mm. And I just remember thinking that was like a lot of fun memories from that game. Any other like specific games or anything? Because I want to talk about the basketball and the baseball runs.
I think another one of my favorite games was, I think they ended up losing, but the William & Mary game with Knight.
Oh, the one you went to
At the Alumni Hall. That was pretty cool because, I mean, it was like, you could tell from the moment like the game took off that he was like an NBA prospect.
Yeah.
And like, I want to say there were scouts there. I forget. But
I think there were.
There were. I feel like that's what made me like privy to it was like I saw someone like a whatever Lakers pull over and I was like, there's no way that's someone from Fairfield, right?
Who are they scouting? Yeah. Cruz or
yeah. But and I was like, it was just like a cool game because he was like just like very good at basketball. And very like evident, like.
And we kind of like stuck in that game, but it was just like
it was a close game too, which was even cooler. It was like
we just couldn't stop him,
yeah.
Which was like you said too, it was still cool seeing that in person because we don't, especially home games, we haven't played a ton of like NBA talent at home, I guess. So that was pretty cool, and I think I worked like the first half of that game, and then came and watched the second half with you guys too. So that was kind of a fun game. I don't know if any other like personal games I'm trying to think of. I think basketball wise, I think we covered it all. Baseball wise, there's definitely, well, I just want to talk about basketball and baseball as a whole. So first of all, I think probably our favorite Fairfield sports memory is the MAC tournament run we had last year for Fairfield basketball. Mm-hmm. That was like we've talked about it a lot on here before. But that was probably the closest that we've got to, like, having a student section or, like, having a bunch of people on this campus who actually, like, cared and watched. I remember the first game, and it grew every day, too.
Every time they won, we had more people watching with us.
Yeah, it was cool to see how it grew every day.
The first round game went to, what, it was double?
Manhattan.
OT or double OT. Yeah. And we were watching on, like, a Tuesday night. Like, they had, like, the 9 o'clock slot. And
yeah.
We had people yelling at us, like, be quiet while you're trying to watch. And then by the championship game, it was, like, the same people, like, watching with us.
Yeah, yeah. That's actually really cool to think about. Because we had our setup for that week was basically
it was a super
your
nice
townhouse.
Week. It was a super nice weekend. Or yeah, a super nice
the whole
week
was
yeah.
nice. Basically,
and
your townhouse.
Basketball, college basketball was on all day because it was the conference tournaments.
Yeah.
So we set up outside on a – we put a kitchen chair we had and set up a TV and got like a extension cord so we could plug in the TV inside and have it set up outside like in front of our porch.
Yeah, for those familiar with like the townhouses, so 63, but it's like the backside.
So it's that like the lawn, it's just a huge hill.
Yeah, like the lawn where they have like soap hockey.
Yeah, and we basically, me and my roommates and then some, Kyle and his roommates came over and we just set up lawn chairs and watched.
Yeah.
But then it got to the point where it was like nine. We watched. We started the Fairfield game. It was light out. And then by the time.
Yeah. And we were screaming. I honestly think when we got yelled at by your neighbors was Monmouth, I think.
Oh, was that Monmouth?
I think because we were cheering heavily when we were beating Monmouth. And then they started to come back after we got yelled at. And then we were like. The reason that Monmouth's coming back is because we stopped cheering loudly. So we were like, we got to start cheering loudly again. I don't care if we get yelled at. I don't care about your neighbors. Like, we got to – the only way they're going to win is if we cheer loudly, even though we're not there. But that's – I think that's when we got yelled at. But the first game, like you said, was Manhattan. And then it was probably, like, not even all of our friends watched, I don't think. There's probably four or five of us, maybe, like – two or three of your roommates and maybe two or three of mine. And
there are people funneling in and out.
Yeah, and we watched that game, and that was a great game. We won, but we kind of expected to win. And then I think the Monmouth one was where, like, the switch really changed. Like, we're actually, like, on a run now because we beat a team we shouldn't have at all by 20. And that was a great memory. And then for the St. Peter's win, the semifinal game, we wound up going to one of our friends' townhouses across the block, or, like, on, was it 10 block?
Yeah.
And that was when there was probably, like, 50 people in a townhouse sitting all on top of each other watching Fairfield basketball play St. Peter's in the MAC semifinals. And that was probably, like, the best.
That was the, because that, the at least that game. One ended with celebration.
Yeah, that was probably our favorite, that's probably my favorite Fairfield basketball game memory ever because of the amount of people there cheering after, like, every bucket.
Because it was like one of those, like, I think it was like 55, like, it was like so low scoring, yeah, I think.
But it was close. It was kind of close.
Very close, but it was like a rock fight where, like, every basket was like
a big deal. Yeah. Yeah. And then when they won, everyone was celebrating and stuff like that. And it was a great time. Like, it was, I never experienced that before at Fairfield. And as we graduate, never again, really, as a student. So that was definitely my favorite sports Fairfield memory, probably in general here. And then the final was cool too. That was like our sham jam that day as well. So kids were kind of out, like, partying all day.
And then, and like, it was like a five, it was like the five, like 5 o'clock. It was like the perfect time.
For, yeah. So once that died down, it was like the game went on. And I think we watched half of it at your house in the backyard.
It was the first half
because
we felt like we had to go back to our,
yeah,
our original setup, and they were losing, so we moved,
like,
over.
We got superstitious, so we watched in your setup, and then when they were losing, we went and watched in the other house, and we couldn't conjure up any magic. So,
it's still another entertaining game to watch.
Yeah, I just always felt like we were never fully in that
game. I know, but it was still fun. Like, I mean, they made some type. It was like, what was it, 9? I bet, like, it was a little more than 9 most of the time.
Yeah, but they got it
down.
But
they had, like,
point,
stretches where they, yeah, they had stretches where they, like, you thought they had maybe a run in them.
It was sad to lose, but I think in the moment it was. But I think looking back at it, that's, like, that week will definitely always be one of my favorite sports memories here. And then transitioning to baseball. We got a few minutes left in the show. Baseball. Another one of those ones where it's like one of the favorite memories is their run last year that took them all the way to the College World Series regional. It's interesting because we didn't really watch Fairfield baseball that much before last season, but it was kind of a combination of a few things. Like, first of all, them being good, obviously, but also us living right there by the townhouses, and some of our friends had the townhouses that border the field right there.
Mm-hmm.
And we could see it from their window upstairs, or, you know, we could
walk outside,
congregate in their house and then walk outside. And also us being under such strict COVID regulations last year.
It was a way to get out.
Yeah, it was a way to do something where we didn't get in trouble because we kind of were allowed to gather in that outfield without getting in trouble, but we weren't allowed to gather anywhere else without getting in trouble. So it was like kind of like probably 3/4 of those kids just getting around like the rules.
Yeah.
But it's still made for a great time.
It's just like something that, like, it's like, and but like in with them, how about them being good? It's like it just got everyone kind of like pumped because, like,
yeah,
I mean, how are you not going to cheer when like they hit a home run or like Fairfield scores?
Yeah, yeah. It's like I think a lot of the people. It was almost like background.
Just background music.
Background, like, no, I feel like baseball in a lot of ways is kind of like background noise.
I guess,
like, you put a game on, you're not watching.
Well,
every
like
pitch.
That's like a lot of sports when you like if like, yeah, say you have people over, it's just like something to have on.
But when you put baseball on, I feel like more than anything else, you're not watching every single pitch.
No, yeah, and also
like you put it on
also,
and do work or something.
It's also it helped that where they you were able to just like turn around and just like look at a sea of people if you didn't want to watch the game. It's not like you,
yeah,
were stuck in a seat like at a basketball game.
Yeah, it's
like
a party as well.
Yeah,
but what I was getting at is that like, not everyone there was, like, watching the games, but like you said, when something big happened, everyone would cheer. And the fact that we were, like, undefeated for pretty much the whole season was also a reason for people to keep going out. And
like, everyone likes to chirp people. And,
yeah,
like
that's
kids
another
could
thing.
Not, they could give, like, nothing. They want nothing to do with baseball, but they can, if there's a right fielder that they don't know that can, like, that they have ear distance, or in earshot of, Like they're gonna heckle.
That was a fun memory. Like I know there was like people's like girlfriends getting looked up on Instagram and stuff. Like they were putting a lot of thought into the chirps that they were sending at the outfielders.
And the coolest thing is like I forget who we talked to, but like, they said they knew someone that played on like one of the other teams that Farrah played, and they said like they loved like that whole like just having people there, even if it was like they were like heckling.
Because that's the thing, it's like they're
used to playing in front of nobody.
Yeah, they probably play in front of no one for pretty much the whole year. So even if you're like getting chirped out there, it's like still a crowd. It probably motivates you and stuff.
And it's like funny. It's not like it's like they ever like went.
Yeah, it's not malicious really, but you know. And then obviously the Fairfield players probably loved it as well. And even when we weren't out there for the Darties on like Saturday, we still went to a bunch of games.
Yeah, we went to a couple like Sunday games.
Sunday games and even weekday. We went to a few weekday games
as well.
I would bring the
air horn.
Yeah, so I was going to say you had the air horn and you would be sometimes chirping players through an air horn. I always thought we were going to like get kicked out of there one time for you having the air horn, but we never did. We never got in trouble for it, so that was and you would play the siren when there was a pop-up to try to get him to drop it. I want to say this could be completely just a imagination, but I want to say they dropped one once when you had the siren going. I think that might have been the time I thought we were going to get thrown out just because you did that, but we never got in trouble there, so that was always a good time. And that carried over into making us want to watch. I remember watching on TV. Like, I wouldn't have watched nearly as many games last year if it wasn't for that.
It made their tournament run even more, like, entertaining because, like, we knew the player.
But yeah,
you watch enough games, you recognize who's pitching and who's hitting.
Because if we never had that experience, we still would have probably watched them in the tournament, but we wouldn't have known, like, any of the players.
Yeah, exactly. Wouldn't, like...
So, that was a great memory. And as we close the show here, I just wanted to look at what our favorite Red Sea Radio episodes were. As I think we've probably done close to 40 to 50 episodes total. And also, I mean, we've been doing a show since freshman year. We've probably done
close to
100, 120 episodes in this studio as we close out our last one. We'll keep it with Red Sea Radio, but what are some of your favorite episodes, do you think?
I enjoyed the RJ Young interview. I thought, I don't know. It was, like, cool, like, to...
Anyone, like, we did two, right? Do you have one specifically?
Probably, I don't know, the second one, because it's, like...
After the tournament?
Yeah, after the tournament, it's, like, talk to him about that stuff. And then, just in general, like, because, like, we talk mainly basketball on this show, so it's, like, to be able to, like, talk to, like, the people you're
talk
watching.
Talk about.
Because, I mean, it's, like, I don't know. It's like surreal almost, even though it's like just like,
just yeah. Like yeah, it was cool. Even having Chrysler on was pretty cool too. Like just talking to a player. But for me, I think my favorite like single episode we did that were non-interviews were probably during the Fairfield basketball run, because we were just like so excited. I feel like we had like a lot more energy on the show.
Every game, it's like, it was like, cause it's like, with the one game elimination, like we dug deep into like every single thing that happened in every game, so it's like, and it's wins, so it's like you're like pumped to talk about it. It's like,
and I think like on Twitter, I think that was like when
we had
our Twitter went
so
off.
Many interactions.
Yeah, like our Twitter really like grew a lot during that week. We had a lot more followers. Like, I want to say we had like probably less than 50 at that time, and we had like a ton of interaction on Twitter. So that was just a really really fun time, and I think the episodes kind of matched like that energy. And then interviews-wise, I think for me it'll always be the interview with Matt Turner, because, I mean, I'm a huge Matt Turner fan regardless. Like, I have been since high school because we went to the same high school. So, like, I didn't think – it's interesting because we interviewed Matt Turner as freshman, and he wasn't really famous yet. He was, like, a third string on New England, and we hadn't had any radio experience at all. So that interview, like, it wasn't recorded, but my mom recorded some of it on, like, her iPad. And you go back and listen to it, and it's, like, so much more unprofessional than we are now. Like, we still aren't, obviously not, like, professionals at this, but to see how much we've grown, and then to see how much he's grown, I think it's really cool to look at.
Well,
like,
we also, we got in early on him.
Yeah, we did. Like, to see, at that time, like, we didn't even know a lot about him, and he didn't play a lot either. The interview was, like, not even that good. freshman year. And then just to see how much he's grown in 3 years, and then to see how much we've grown in 3 years doing podcasts is really cool, I guess, to look back at. And then I just really enjoyed our interview with him. It was really long. We talked about a lot of stuff. He'll talk about anything. You know what I mean? That's what I like. You know, because, like, with Jay Young, he kind of reserves himself sometimes. Yeah, it's understandable.
As someone who's a, like, coach for the school.
Yeah, but for Matt Turner, like, it was just felt like interviewing, like, another kid. Even though he's very famous and he has a lot of eyes on him. You know, way more eyes than Jay Young or anyone else we've interviewed. He's definitely the most famous person we've interviewed.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And he just talks like a kid, and like, he'll say anything that he wants on the show. And he's just also such a genuine guy, too. Like, when we did that interview with him on Red Sea Radio, we did it on Zoom, and we don't have Zoom Premium, so you can only do, like, 40 minutes at a time.
We just stop and start.
We stopped and started three separate times. Like, we had to ask him, like, Matt, can we, you know, this time's running out on this Zoom. Can we stop and start? We did three different Zoom meetings for the one episode, and it was really long because there was just so much I wanted to ask him. Over an hour, and, you know, he just didn't have any problem with sitting there with us for that long. I know a lot of people like that are usually, like, running on a schedule. Like, they just want to do their hour and get out of there, but he didn't care. He's asked me whatever, and he was just really, really down-to-earth, cool guy, and for someone that famous to be like that, and to come on our, like, no-name podcast with, you know, 200 Twitter followers is really cool, and to have interviewed him twice is awesome, and, you know, we'll forever be fans of his as he transitions to Arsenal this summer. And then finally, I think the Zach Dayton interview was probably one of our best episodes as well, because he was really good and knowledgeable, great at speaking. Both of our episodes with him were great, I think, but the first one didn't record, so no one really heard that unless you're listening live. But I just thought he had a lot of good information in there. Like, people who probably only listen to that episode, people probably don't listen to our show, probably still listen to that episode. I know views-wise it was a lot higher than a lot of our other episodes because there was just a lot of good information in there for people who just want to work in sports, and you don't have to be a Fairfield fan to listen to that one. And I know some people, like, told me, people I work with and stuff, were, like, saying that they enjoyed that episode a lot. So I thought that was great. So thank you to Zach for coming on. And, yeah, anything else that you wanted to add?
No. I think that's it. That's all she wrote.
Anything else for just, like, reflection-wise?
Thank you for anyone that listens. Everyone that listened. I know there's somebody. I know there's somebody.
Yeah. I guess to close it out, thank you to everyone who's listened to our show. Thank you to people who listen live, people who listen online. I know, like, we started this 4 years ago. I joined radio to get a T-shirt. And then I pretty much recruited you to do a show with me, you and Drew.
Yeah.
Because, boy, I don't know, I just wanted to, just something to do, you know, as a freshman. And it quickly grew into, like, one of my favorite hobbies. We did evening sports for two and a half years, just talking about random pro sports. We didn't even have, like, any script or anything. It was just kind of, that show was pretty unprofessional, but it was fun, and it gave us experience, and it was all about just giving us something to do once a week. And then we did this, and this wound up, like, taking off way more, I guess, than we could have expected. It's really cool to have anyone listening, like you said, like, someone's out there, and it's really cool. So thank you to everyone who's listened to our show, followed us on Twitter, interacted with us on the message boards. Everyone who we've met through here, it's really cool. Like, people like Frank or anyone on Twitter that we're, like, Twitter friends with through Red Sea Radio. Daily Dose of Hoops, like, shouted us out this week.
People that want to know more about Fairfield.
Yeah, for being, like, one of the top Fairfield basketball info accounts. And, like, and that's really cool.
Stagafile got tight.
Yeah. You know, he should have been in there. Yeah. He should have been in there for sure. But it was really cool to even be on something like that. And, I just thank you to everyone we've met through this. Thank you for everyone who's listened. Doing radio and podcasts has definitely been one of my favorite pleasures of going to Fairfield, and we're not done, but we're definitely done in the studio.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I guess we're signing off from the WVUF studios on 88.5 FM for the last time. Follow us on Twitter at Red Sea Radio to keep up with us. We'll be tweeting. I'll be tweeting on there forever. And then stay tuned for more Red Sea Radio episodes, probably in November sometime when Jack's a full-time working man and I'm a grad student. But, yeah, thank you again to everyone who's ever listened. For the last time in the WVUF studios, it's been Kyle and Jack on Red Sea Radio. We'll leave you off, as we always have, by saying, go Stags.